Open in your Bibles, if you would, to Joshua chapter 6. We're going to start here. I'm going to share briefly from here. And then, as a foundation, we're going to begin to move on from there. But most of us are very familiar with this passage and this story of the destruction of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6. Now, Jericho, verse 1, was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. The enemy had been pinned down. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days." So for 6 days they would march around the city once. "And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat." There are times in our lives when we need to shout to the Lord. There are times when we need to be silent before the Lord. There are times when we need to be still before the Lord. And there's other times when we need to call out the name of the Lord. We need to call upon His name. And that really means to cry out loudly, audibly to the Lord. So we're going to talk about this calling upon the name of the Lord. The early church were called Christians because they followed Jesus. But they're also called Jesus callers, because they used to cry and shout out the name of Jesus. How many know it is important that God's people get a hold of this? There are many of God's people who have never really called upon the name of the Lord. There are many who've lived a silent existence, and yet God gave us a voice. He gave us words for a reason, because words are spiritual. Words hold power. There is life and death in the power of the tongue. Jesus said, "These words that I speak unto you are spiritual, and they're life-giving. They're spirit and they're life." And so God also has given us His Holy Spirit if you're born again today. And He has given us also with the Spirit, He is the Spirit of truth. Therefore, He has given us also the Word of the law written on our hearts. And there are times when we need to speak forth what God is saying. There are times when we need to audibly call out to the Lord. It's like what Philip was saying this morning. There's times when he just shouts to Jesus, cries out to Jesus. Sometimes the oppressor will come and he'll try to press you down and squash you and shut you up. There's times when you need to shake that off. You need to rise up like Samson, amen, when the Philistine comes in, and shake yourself and say, not going to happen, and begin to call out the name of Jesus. When we call the name of Jesus, chains are broken. Shackles fall off. The oppressor leaves. Sometimes you've got to battle, as I mentioned this morning. You've got to wrestle sometimes in the Spirit until your deliverance comes. You need to keep praising Him until you have deliverance. Keep praising Him until your breakthrough comes. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap How many here have experienced glossolalia? You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, another language that you never learned. How many here? Okay. How many have never had that experience? It's okay if you haven't. It doesn't mean you're less of a Christian. Okay, great. I just want to know, because by tonight you can have that if you'd like. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Why? Because it's a gift of God. He wants you to have it. If it's a gift from God, it's a good thing and you should want it. Well, it's the least of the gifts. Hey, it's the gift of God. I want it. All right. But God wants to bless you, but you got to want to be blessed too. You got to get into position. You got to humble yourself. You got to cry out, call out to the name of the Lord. How many of you, I just want to show of hands, were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues when you were crying out to God, praising Him? Okay, look at all the hands when you were praising Him. How many of you got filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues when you were silent? Amazing. Do you find it important that we need to articulate, amen, that God gave us a mouth, amen? And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or of human nature or human origin, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds of the enemy. That means those things that the enemy comes against us with. And so we need to understand that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And we need to be speaking God's words. We need to be able to hear His voice. When we hear His voice, He will give you a word often. And when you speak the word that Christ gives you, there will be a spiritual effect. It will create life. Whenever Jesus speaks, it's life. Even when He convicts us of our sin, it's still life. It's always for the purpose of life. So calling on the name of the Lord. Here they shouted. God told them to shout. Amazing, okay? And when they shouted, something happened. Something shattered, amen? The walls were shattered and the enemy, his camp, had collapsed within on itself, amen? So we can learn something through the Word of God. He gave us this Word so that we can learn how to live, how to walk, what pleases God, what doesn't please God, to learn of His ways, to know His heart, to know His mind. If you don't read the Word of God, you're not going to know that. And if you're just depending on the preacher or somebody else to teach you, be very careful, because he could lead you astray. Check it out. Check it out yourself. Check out what I tell you. Holy Spirit, again I pray, Lord, take the things of Jesus tonight and reveal them to each heart. And I just bind the adversary right now and command you to be silent in Jesus' name. Jesus Himself, folks, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, who in the days of His flesh, that means when He walked this earth, when He had offered up prayers and supplications. You remember, supplication means an earnest entreaty. This is not a passive prayer. This is a fervent, effectual type of prayer. Supplication. With loud cries. Jesus Himself prayed fervently with loud cries and tears to the Father, to Him who was able to save Him from death. When Jesus knew, even in the garden, that what was facing Him, amen? And often Jesus would go up on the mountain to pray. And we know that while He was in the flesh, He would cry out, He would call out to the Father. And at times, even with loud shouts, if you will, and tears, to the One who could hear Him and save Him from death. The Bible says that death could not hold Him, amen? That He would not see corruption. Jesus was crucified, but He did not rot in the grave, amen? Because on the third day He rose again victorious. And so He Himself cried out to the Father in the days of His flesh and was heard because of His godly fear. his reverential honor and awe of God, the Father. Now, Jeremiah, in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 55, one of the prophets, major prophets, he said, I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. Has anybody ever been there? He says, I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing, from my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called to you. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, he said, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of Yeshua, salvation. That's Jesus. And in that day, what day? That's today, folks, the day we're living in. You will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Make your boast on your God. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout. Here it is. O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Now, there's an appropriate time to shout, and there's a time when you shouldn't shout. And sometimes we can get out of order. Am I right? In a service. There's a time to shout. There's a time to be silent. There's times when God wants us to just to settle down. So the shouting often breaks the barriers, see, and breaks down the walls of the enemy, casts out the oppressor. It gets them on the run, gets them out of the meeting. Amen? But then there's a time of being still. Know that he is God. It's in the stillness we can listen for the still small voice that would speak to us. So there's a time to be quiet. And it's often you'll see that there will be a lull in the service when things will settle. And then the word will come forth. The word, a prophetic word, as God is speaking to his people through one of us. Amen? So there's an appropriate time to shout. It's not always shouting time. But there's a principle here that if you get a hold of it and you will practice it, I'm talking about start applying this message tonight, all right? You will see that God will break the chains off your life if you will shout and call upon him in truth. How does God become my salvation, strength, and our song? How can we draw the water of life? By calling on the name of the Lord. By praising him. By singing to him. By crying out and shouting to him. That's how I'm filled, folks. You know how I'm filled by the Holy Spirit? I'm filled when I come and I offer praise to God. When I worship him, we should never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We should never be ashamed to let people know where we stand. And if you're full of the power of the Holy Spirit, you won't be, because his perfect love will be shed abroad in your heart and you'll have supernatural boldness. God is the one who can make his people fearless. It doesn't mean that we don't deal with fear at times. We all do. But we can be fearless if we will learn how to call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When Goliath came against David, you know, the armies of Israel were shaking in their armor, as you know. And I'm sure that David probably had some reservations as well. I believe that David had this thing called courage, which is not an absence of fear, but it is control over fear. It is the mastery over your fear. Men that fight in battles that have courage are not that they're without any type of fear, because sometimes that's a stupid thing, you know. If you don't have any fear, this is a sensible fear. Amen. If you walk across the street, you might have a little bit of, let me just make sure nobody's coming down the street here before I walk. Right? That's sensible fear. But the fear that God doesn't want his people to accept or walk in is the paralyzing fear of the adversary that would shut you down and cause you to become ineffective in your bold witness for Christ. And so you're going to get boldness as you shout his name, as you cry out to him, as you pray and seek his face. As you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. He will fill your life with great supernatural boldness, where once you might have been quiet and a sheepish kind of person, that now you can actually be bold and you can speak in front of people that before you could have never done. When I was young, I used to be terrified of being called upon by my teacher. I'm telling you, man, it would strike fear in my heart when I say, "And what do you think, Mr. Arnsmeyer?" And like I said this morning, when I was talking to Heysook and she wasn't backing me up very good, I said, "Honey, what did I say? Am I a quiet person?" Or she says, "Not anymore." But it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. He enables us to do what we naturally can't do. We must have him. We must drink of him. We must eat and drink Jesus. Amen? Yes. So that we're sustained by him. We have strength to do that, which is impossible naturally. But with God, all things are possible. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So turn in your Bibles to Genesis here, where they first began to call upon the Lord in the days of Enosh. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. This was the third generation of the human race. Enosh was the son of Seth and the son of Adam. Seth was the son of Adam, so he was the great-grandson, or the grandson of Adam. Chapter 4, verse 25. Make sure I get it here. There we go. Adam knew his wife, Eve, again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. "For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." That's when it began to happen right then. And then you see it happening. If you've got room to write this, if you want to write them down, you can see it throughout Scripture. But with Abraham in Genesis 12 and verse 8, Abraham offered sacrifice to the Lord. He built an altar to the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. And he did what? He called upon the name of the Lord. Isaac also built an altar, a place of sacrifice, a place of offering where he would meet with God. And he also would call upon the name of the Lord in Genesis 26 and verse 25. We see that same thing true about Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7. In Job in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 4. Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 10. Samson, I'm going too fast. Judges 16, verse 28. Samuel called upon the name of the Lord. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 18. David, here in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 4. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 4. David said, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." Is it important to call on the name of the Lord?
Yes.
For what reason? For deliverance from evil. He said, "When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid." Ever feel that way? The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. Folks, this is not some sheepish, wimpish, kind of under the breath thing. There's a time, folks, when all you can do is just whisper a prayer. Amen? God hears that. But there are times when you just need to get a little bit, you know, mad at the devil, let's put it that way. And you call out to God. And He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry entered His ears. Hallelujah. We see also others such as Jonah, Elijah, and Jeremiah. Now, the prophet Joel had prophesied in chapter 2. We all know this very well. In the latter days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my maidservants, my men servants, in those days I will pour out of my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. So we know that. And then it says, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, this is not just one-time thing. This is a people who are Jesus callers. This is a people who are worshipers. These are a people who walk with God and call on His name. Are you with me? It's not something you do on Sunday morning. It's something you do every day. You walk with God and you call on Him. When the oppressor tries to get on you, start crying out to Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes all I can do is just say, Jesus! 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 Come on, say, Jesus! Wow. There's power in the name of Jesus. Woo! Come on, say that one more time. Jesus! We get whacked doing that. We get intoxicated with His love, you see. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall, it really means delivered. It brings deliverance. Even as Jericho, as they shouted, it destroyed the enemies. Amen. And other places, as they sang and praised the Lord in the beauty of holiness, the Lord sent ambushes on Amnon, you know, Mount Seir, and He destroyed the enemies of God, simply as they went forth and they shouted to the Lord and they praised Him. It is so important that God's people get a hold of the importance of praise. Not a sing-along, but I mean audible praise from your heart to God. Amen? To offer praise of thanksgiving, gratitude to the Lord for His goodness. Hallelujah. Jesus. So whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I've discovered that as you get people to just to praise God, you know, it's like sometimes you feel in your spirit that things are all dammed up. You know what I'm saying? Like the river's just got a dam over it or something. Just start crying out to Jesus. Just start calling His name. Just keep calling His name. Just keep praising Him. Just keep calling His name. Just keep praising Him. Just keep on calling Him. Keep on praising Him until you have your breakthrough. Because I'm telling you that if you keep praising the Lord, He's going to set your heart free. And if you can walk in praise and thanksgiving, amen, and pray without ceasing, then often your heart's not even going to get there in the first place. Hello. We need to stay in the river. When we offer praise, we're seeding the clouds. The clouds become full, and the Father releases His glory, His presence. Rain typifies the Holy Spirit. When we say, let it rain, we're saying, Lord, pour out Your Holy Spirit. Bring a refreshing to my soul. And God wants to refresh you. He wants a happy people on the earth. He doesn't want a gloomy, bummed out, depressed people. He wants happy Christians. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you can tell when you're getting strong in the Lord because you'll be joyful. Folks, when we're not joyful, it's usually a sign that we're weak. I've never experienced anybody that's been really full of the Holy Spirit and not joyful too. We're living in a time when God is pouring out His Spirit. When Stephen, the Apostle Stephen, was stoned to death, it says that he saw, amen, the Lord, the heavens were open. He was calling on the name of the Lord as they came at him and stoned him to death. What did he do? He cried out to God in the hour of his stoning. Saul of Tarsus, who later became, you know, the great apostle Paul, used to persecute Christians, remember? What did he do? He was jailing those who were called Jesus callers. He was calling those fanatics, those radical Jesus people. You see, there are people that claim to be Christians, and maybe they are, but they will criticize people who are really excited about Jesus, who are really on fire for Jesus, who are really living the life that Jesus wants them to have. Because they're stuck in religious, in religion, and a religious spirit has gripped them. And they've been told that you have to be miserable and gloomy and sad. And folks, there's times when we have sorrow, but God promises to turn sorrow into joy. They give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Will you call on the Lord? Yes. That's where it's at, calling out to God. The same Lord is rich to all who call upon Him. Romans 10 and verse 12. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul later told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Pursue spiritual things. How many are doing that? How many, your pursuit in life is to know God and to make Him known. Pursue spiritual things with those who call on the Lord. With those who call upon the Lord. Don't hang around with people who are constantly negative and pessimistic and don't have anything good to say about anybody. Every time they get critical, say something good. Say something positive. And if you hear me getting critical, do say something positive. I hate it. We've all heard this before, but you know, folks, if you get nervous from people shouting to Jesus in church, what are you going to do in heaven, right? I mean, you know that heaven is a place where there is celebration 24/7. Hallelujah. The angels around the throne, amen. The 24 elders falling down on their face before God and crying, "Holy, holy, holy," amen. This is awesome. There is praise, continuous praise. He inhabits praise. And when you and I are people of praise, when we're crying out to God and shouting out His name, hallelujah, there's power in that name of Jesus. To break every chain, to set every captive free. Hallelujah. Why call on the name of the Lord? To be rescued from sin. Romans 10 and 13. You got to open yourself up to call on the name of the Lord. You got to open yourself up. Remember Isaiah had just, we just read from Isaiah chapter 12. That the way to receiving water, refreshing, is to call upon the name of the Lord. Calling upon the name of the Lord is an audible expression. God gave us a voice. Use your voice for good and not for evil. Use your voice to speak blessing and not cursing. You will create an atmosphere by what you say. And what you meditate on in your heart will create an atmosphere inside you too. And eventually what comes out of the mouth is what's in the heart. So be careful, little mind, what you think about, what you dwell on. You'll like it if you try it, though. Just call on Jesus. Be released from yourself and filled with the Lord. Come on. Do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor. Get released from yourself. I got to get released from myself. We all do. So do yourself a favor. Get over yourself. Forget about the drama of yesterday. It's a new day, a new beginning. You want God to set you free? Start praising Him. Start crying out. Start calling on Jesus. Do it audibly. Do it loud. Shout to the Lord if you must. The Bible says that the Lord has gone up with a shout. When they took up even the Ark of the Covenant, they would say and they would declare, "Let God arise and His enemies be scattered." And they'd move the Ark of the Covenant, amen? And they would go and they would follow the glory of God. But this is something that we must do audibly. There was silence as they walked around the walls of Jericho for a season. And then came the time, the appointed time, when it was appropriate. And God said, "Shout." This morning, when we came in here, it's very rare, but this morning I just really felt it was actually somewhat oppressive in here. Maybe you didn't feel that. Maybe it was me that needed the help. But I had wrestled yesterday and even into the evening, and I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning even praying, and it was just such a heaviness for some reason. And I came in here this morning, I'm thinking, "Oh no, devil, no you don't. You're not going to rob our joy. You're not going to rob our victory." And so what did we do this morning? We shouted to the Lord, didn't we? Yes. Did you notice what happened when we did that? It broke. It broke. If you feel that way in your own life, do the same thing. Jesus. 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 You're my deliverer. You're my strong tower. You're my rock, my sword, and my shield. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Holy God. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let heaven come down in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Did you just feel the waves, of God's glory as we call on Him? Folks, something's going to break loose here, and just it's happening already. But I'm saying we're getting ready to ride another wave here in just a moment. I sense it. How many want to ride the wave with Jesus? How many want more? We call on the name of the Lord to be rescued from distress. Yes. David said, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears." You call out the name of the Lord to be rescued from trouble. Yes. Is that a good thing?
Yes.
Psalms 50 and verse 15. The Lord said, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." How do we glorify? Hallelujah. Let me tell you what the Lord did. Let me tell you how the Lord rescued me. Let me share with you the word of my testimony. We call upon the name of the Lord to be rescued from sorrow. If you've been going through sorrow and pain, God will heal you as you crawl. Call out His name. Shout the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's a healing anointing. There's a healing joy available to God's people. Do you want His joy? Will you come and will you drink and let God heal you? The psalmist said, the pains of death encompassed me. And then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul, he said. See, we drink of life this way. Hallelujah. See, the devil doesn't want people to get this. He doesn't want people to hear this. He doesn't want people to know this. He wants people just to be clammed up and sit in the pew and just be stagnant and stale and ineffective and lifeless and joyless and bound. And Jesus said, no, I came that you might have life. And life more abundantly. Jesus is fun to be with. He is the most fun to be with. I love my walk with Jesus. He is my joy. Hallelujah. You know what? Jesus likes it when you're happy. Jesus wants his people to laugh and be joyful. Hallelujah. When God gave Abraham and Sarah a son after so long they had waited and the promise came, she says, I'm going to call his name Laughter. Laughter. God has made me laugh. In Hebrews it says that God has anointed Jesus with the oil of joy above all his brethren. The oil of joy. There is joy in the presence of the Lord. In his presence is fullness of joy. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's amazing. You see, the Lord confirms his word with signs following. We preach him as our healer. He manifests his healing. And folks, there is a healing joy. And I find sometimes it may be a physical thing that God will heal in that, but often it's emotional pain and wounds that God just gets deep within. And he begins to heal the inner man as you drink. Drink deeply tonight. When we call on the name of the Lord, folks, we are stirring ourselves up. Now, listen to this. If somebody has a problem with that, Isaiah in chapter 64 and verse 7 said this. He said, Lord, there is no one who calls on your name. He was distressed because people would not call on the name of the Lord. Listen. Who stirs himself up to take hold of you. Do you get that? Isaiah said, there's no one who calls on your name, who stirs, and that word stirs means wakes up himself to take hold of you. So just take a hold of yourself right now and go like this. Wake yourself up. Shake yourself up. Hey. You know, folks, I'm going to tell you, we're all the same, really, okay? We're all going through this thing together, right? Yeah. We all have struggles. We all have temptation. We all deal with things. I can't get up there and do what I do except that I stir myself up sometimes. Sometimes I'm coming in with the weight of the world, you know, trying just to bog me down. And I just discovered something that I don't have to allow that to happen. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't have to be in church. I can be in Walmart and be happy in Jesus. If I just call on the Lord. Come on, start praising the Lord. Start calling on Jesus. There's salvation. There's healing. There's deliverance. In the name of the Lord. All right. I want you just to thank the Lord tonight for joy. Go ahead. Whether you feel joy or not, he's given you joy and you have access to joy. Is Christ in you? Then you have joy because he is the joy giver. So tonight, say thank you, Jesus, for joy. Hallelujah. Jesus. Now begin to call out his name. Come on. I will rejoice in you and be glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad.